Good morning. Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. We are glad to have you with us and hope that you are doing well. I'm here again with Josh and with Adam, and we're excited to have a conversation today. Let's just start with a quick check-in. Guys, how we doing this fine morning?
I'm all right. Got a tiny headache, but nothing you can't work through, all right?
Wouldn't have anything to do with the rain for the past 40 days and probably, 40 nights, would it?
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I saw someone in Walnut Groves putting up an ark or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Probably, so much rain.
Harvesting gopher wood. That's what I've been doing. So, doing good. I had a spicy chicken biscuit this morning.
Yes.
Was hoping that would help my headache. Because I've got a headache.
Spicy chicken biscuit from Bojangles or Chick-fil-A?
No, Chick-fil-A.
The cup's right there, the Chick-fil-A cup.
Oh, look, I see it. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, if Bojangles had a mobile app and they were a little quicker through the drive-through, I'd be there every single time.
Yeah.
But
Bojangles chicken sandwich is nice.
I think I like the Chick-fil-A breakfast biscuit better. I think that I'm rare company in that one.
Yeah. No, I'd rather have the Bojangles, but it's just too convenient to do Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Because Chick-fil-A is closer, first of all.
And faster.
Faster. And their reward system is better.
The reward and the app, all that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. Bojangles is nice.
Bojangles is nice. There is no doubt about that.
No.
So
it's potato wedges too. I mean.
So we've got a tiny headache this morning and a spicy Chick-fil-A biscuit this morning. those are two little different experiences for the morning, but we're glad to have you. Nonetheless, I am doing well. Thanks for asking, guys.
Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're doing well.
Middle child needed to be noticed.
I know, yeah. Did you know that the other day was National Middle Child Day? It's just that everybody forgot about it.
Yeah.
Didn't observe it or pay attention to it. Yep. But it is what it is. Josh, we're excited to talk about your sermon. Before we do, we want to have some fun at the front. You mentioned at the beginning of your sermon yesterday that there are two types of people or two types of gift givers.
Yep.
Those who give gifts off of the wish list and those who don't like to give gifts off of the wish list and try to put in a little bit more thought. And that's not to say that those who don't do the wish list gifts aren't thoughtful, but we want to talk about this. Which one are you guys? You go off the wish list or do you go for the kind of the more thoughtful, not on the wish list type of stuff?
I'm both.
Yeah, okay. I'm both.
Yeah, because you got to know who you're giving to. Because, like, there's some people, they just, like, throw a bunch of stuff on a wish list down just because, like, well, here's some ideas, but they're not, like, dead set on it.
Sure.
And then there are other people, it's like, you get a wish list and there's three things on it, and it's very apparent. It's like...
Those are the things.
These are the things that they want, so I don't venture from that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I think, for me, it also depends on who... I mean, he already said who it is, but... I guess the relationship I have with them. And so I have nephews and nieces that live far away. And so unfortunately, I don't know them as well as I could if I was in the same town or something. So a wish list there is super helpful because we're not around. But like, you know, Sasha, I can be a thoughtful giver for her. I kind of know her. And so I'm probably not going to go to her Amazon wish list.
He kind of knows her.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's good. That's good. After 10 years or whatever it is now, he kind of knows her.
Yeah, after 11 years.
Ooh. 11 years.
11 years. Love 2011, it. Man.
Kind of knows her.
Yeah.
He knows
so it depends on who it is. Yeah.
I like it. I'm the same way. I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like a little bit of both on... Like for one of one person, right? So like Tristan, there's going to be a couple of things off the wish list that I get because I know that that's like what she really wants or even really needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be like, oh, like this would be a really cool thing to give to her or to do that. And for other people, it's kind of the same way. It's hit or miss. Like sometimes I'll give
it's not
off
a vacuum,
the wish list. It's not a vacuum.
It's not a vacuum. It's like, oh, hey, here's my thoughtful gift to you.
The age-old gift of a husband giving his wife a vacuum.
No.
I love you so much.
I would not ever do that. The only time that I would ever think of doing a vacuum cleaner as a Christmas gift would be if it was our old one broke and we needed a new one and we splurged and bought a nice one for Christmas for ourselves to share.
Still no.
No. The answer is still no.
Just go and buy it.
Yeah. In fact, this happened just like a couple of months within the last month and a half or so. And, our vacuum that we'd had for 10 plus years. It was a Dyson kind of thing, nice thing, but it stopped cleaning the way it needed to clean.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'll get a new one. And Jennifer's like, okay, but this does not count as my birthday present. This does not count as my, my Christmas
present.
She's a
December birthday too.
Yeah, she's a December birthday. And so she's like, we are just buying one because we need it. This is not a gift. And it's like, okay, I get it. Message
received. You guys do know that that's the measure of adult.
Did you get her the vacuum cleaner accessories for the birthday and Christmas?
You may not have known it, but we do. We just had a quick pause for some technical difficulties, and we were talking about vacuum cleaners. So really, you were missing or potentially going to miss some of our most productive conversation on the podcast.
Yeah, so. The real truth is Luke just went off the rails, and so we pulled his microphone.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably about right. Honestly, I'm surprised it took this long for that to happen.
Yeah, what is it, episode 20 or something
like
that?
It's like, I was expecting that episode 3 or 4.
Well, we should have done it on some of your Thanksgiving takes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
You know, vacuum cleaners, we discovered this a few years back, that the real measure of adulthood is not 18, 21. It's not any of that kind of stuff. It is, can you have an educated conversation about a vacuum cleaner? And if you can, you're an adult.
I will go one further. do you get excited?
Yes.
About a new vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
That means you're an adult.
Hey, our vacuum cleaner right now, it is one of those Dyson. So it was like, you know, it was some money back in the day when we bought it. And the plastic canister, it broke. It still works, but it broke as far as clipping in. So it literally is taped on right now, and it still works. Wow. Everything, but it's like, if I want to buy a replacement canister, it's like $150.
Yeah,
and a new vacuum is probably $600. So I'm not going to do that. Tape works just fine.
This is why people tune into our podcast.
It still cleans very well. So
they want all the vacuum takes.
All the vacuum takes. There you go. we got one on our wedding registry a year ago, and it was like one of those, because I'm allergic to dogs, and we have a dog, and so it was one of those that like does pet hair really well.
Yep.
And unboxing that and watching it go for the first time was kind of fun. So
I know the joy.
Yeah.
I know the joy.
Now, I don't know that I enjoy it anymore, but it was when it was new.
It's pretty cool.
It was a lot of fun. Hey, here's another question. What's on the spirit of Christmas gift giving, what's a Christmas gift that you've given to somebody before that you are just like really, really proud of?
So last year was kind of fun. Sasha's favorite color is yellow. So I did like a yellow theme. Everything was yellow. I think there was a dress and a notebook and a pencil that she loves to take notes with and a few other things. I can't remember all of them. I think an AirPod case that was yellow. It was just several different things. I don't know. It was lame, but
it's not lame.
She loves me.
It's adorable.
She loved it. Yeah.
You're such a cute husband, Josh.
So it was fun.
That's good. I like it.
I don't really remember, to be honest. Now, I do know one of the birthday presents that I got for Jennifer. Like I said, so Jennifer's birthday is in December. My daughter's birthday is in December. My son's is late November. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a lot of gift giving that goes on there. So it all kind of blurs together. But I think it was never Jennifer turned 30. So this is, I won't tell you how many years ago it was, but it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I reached out to a lot of her friends, you know, here, childhood friends and those kind of things, and just said, hey, you know, Jen's turning 30. Would you please just like write a quick note, letter to her? And so made just a little small little booklet for her of just, you know, people from her life just wishing her happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I did something similar for Tristan's birthday a couple months ago. She turned 25. Mm-hmm. Kind of 25 letters from 25 people. It was a lot of fun to put that together.
Yeah.
Christmas, this is one that I want to do it again and again and again. So a little bit of backstory for this one. So my brother Clark and I, and if you don't believe that there are two people that could be as weird as like I am, is my brother Clark. Like we're the same person and we feel the same way about a lot of things. And when it comes to Christmas gifts, we don't necessarily like love receiving Christmas gifts. It's like, we kind of like anything that I want or anything that I need, I can go get. Like, don't waste time and money on me, all that sort of stuff. And so like I drew him for our family Christmas, and I was like, dude, what do you want? And he's like, I don't know. Like, I have everything I need. I don't need it. So what I did is I got him a new meat thermometer, and then I bought him just a bunch of steak.
Yeah.
It's a good gift.
Like froze it in the freezer and on Christmas morning, like right as we're opening gifts, got it out of the freezer and just put it in his lap. And I said, hey, here's your Christmas gift. And we're coming up on, you know, Thursday night. You got to grill this for us, you know. And that was fun because it was like a fun thing where, okay, now it's this gift that's kind of funny. It's not necessarily another thing that's going to go into a closet, another thing that, you know, he doesn't need or want, but actually becomes an experience, a reason for us to get together again. Yep. To eat.
Yeah, I like those experience gifts.
Yeah, they're
very
awesome.
Very similar. My dad, when they were here just a few weeks ago, he loves black licorice. I guess that's where I get it from. And so, you know, I bought him this nice black licorice, and it was all gone by the time they left. And so
there's no such thing as nice black licorice.
It's not a thing just sitting around. He has everything he needs, right? So it's the experience, and food is always a good gift.
Food is the best gift.
Yeah.
Food is the best gift. I love it. Cool. So, Josh, I want to give you the minute, to do this really, really quickly. Nate, you shared about your friend Nate, who is the guy who just knows.
He just knows
what you are going to love as a gift. I want you to share one Nate story of your choice.
Okay, I'll keep it.
There's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones. I'll keep it short. And the one I've hinted at it before and told it before is just we've traded this baton. Oh my goodness, for 18 years, just this plastic toy. But it's just a practical joke we've mailed back and forth. And it's been baked into a birthday cake. It's been delivered by a dancing ballerina. It's been to Europe, Africa, and every state in the U.S.
Wow.
Most recently, though, this is how ridiculous he is. He gave it back to me at Dominic's birthday party last May, where he literally hired a magician for his birthday party secretly without me knowing. He and Sasha worked together for this. And the magician does this magic trick, pulls it out of his pocket, and gives it to me. The whole thing is on video. And it was just great, you know. Now, the extra part of that story that makes it really funny is that Sasha, her responsibility was to communicate directly with this magician, who was kind of weird because every single text message he had back and forth with her, there was a signature at the bottom that said, "Magically yours." So
magically yours,
kind of creepy. Yeah,
that's pretty creepy.
I hope he signs that to everyone.
Yeah,
and not just my wife.
Well, I don't.
That would be even worse.
Oof. Yeah, I don't have him.
But no,
back.
Nate is very creative, and just he is a party wherever he goes. You know, yeah. He brings the life. Super fun.
That's a lot of fun. Okay, Josh, keep talking. This time, instead of telling stories about Nate, tell us about your sermon. Give us a quick recap of what you said.
Yeah, it was week three, All I Want for Christmas, this series we're in. And we were talking off air, you know, before it started, how really every single message is this series, it's Jesus, right? So Jesus is hope, Jesus is peace, and this week, Jesus is joy. It's no different. The connection to Jesus is what makes Christmas, you know, what makes Christmas Christmas. So joy, though, it's deeper than happiness. It's not just surface. It's a choice we can choose. It's a reminder we can remind ourselves. And really what it comes down to biblically, I think, is it's salvation through Jesus. In fact, in Luke 2, which is the passage we went to, the angels announce to the shepherds, joy to the world. And then what comes right after that? Like, the Savior is here. Christ the Messiah, the Savior, Christ the Lord is here. And so the strong connection is you have joy because of salvation through Jesus. It's because of God's grace, not our effort. And because of that, we can choose it all the time. We can choose joy in spite of circumstances. Joy transcends feelings and situations. And in fact, this was kind of challenging for me. Scripture commands it, right?
Yeah.
Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice always. So that's it. The key to joy is that it's in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And so like the shepherds, when we have that, we go share it just like they did. Sometimes that means sharing it to ourselves, our own hearts and souls that forget it. And a lot of times that means sharing it with the world around us, our family, our friends, coworkers, all of it. So,
yeah, love it. Thought it was great. Adam, jump in, share with us some extra thoughts you had about what was shared. Do you have anything that was helpful, encouraging, challenging, insightful?
One of the things I thought, this is just a, you know, sometimes it's just Bible nerd stuff that just kind of jumps out to me. And one of the things Josh pointed out yesterday that I thought was just so good is, you know, the angels show up and they announce peace. And then just pointing out that the only time an army announces peace is after the battle's been won. And so that was just a huge connection, you know, for me of just like, oh, wow, just the observation of the arrival of Christ is the defeat. It is the deliverance of peace, which is why we have joy, you know. And so everything was set into motion even there at the beginning with just his arrival that, that evening. And I loved that concept.
Yeah, it's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And to know, you know, to know, okay, angels come in as an army, announce peace. That's whenever we experience joy because we know Jesus is going to be victorious. And then to actually see his life play out and like see that happen, I mean, that's a huge thing. I thought it was so this story. I think the part of the Christmas story that always gets to me every single year is the shepherds and this Bible nerd stuff you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like you look into the historical context of this day and kind of try to find some stuff on the shepherds. You aren't going to find noble things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys are looked down upon by society and oftentimes because they're not really great people. You know, they're going to swear like sailors. They're going to be accused of robbing and thieving, and they might actually, you know, be worthy of that accusation and all that sort of stuff. And so it strikes me all of the time that God chose to just reveal that message first to a bunch of shepherds, a bunch of lowly shepherds.
And and then he left it in their hands. Like, I found it interesting, I guess, for the first time kind of making this connection this year, that the shepherds took the job of the angels. Like, they came and announced it once, and then they left. It's like, well, angels are pretty worthy of announcing God's glory, but then they left and didn't do it, and the shepherds did, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty humbling as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Anything else as we kind of think through what was encouraging, helpful, maybe challenging?
The other thing, too, that just, like, really hit me between the eyes was the quote from Tim Keller, Josh, that you shared. You know, going off of Philippians 4:4 in a way, but the line that got me was just like, it is a sin to be less than joyful at what God has done in our lives. And I think that's just a great reminder for us, because it's so easy for all of us to end up focusing in on what we feel like we don't have, or what's not right, how things aren't the way they're supposed to be. And just to, it's a forgetfulness, and there is a sinfulness to the forgetfulness of just like, well, but wait a second, I do have everything I need, you know, in Christ Jesus and what God has done for me through him. So I thought that was just another just like shot between the eyes.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way when Josh sent this sermon out, and you know, we're kind of giving it a read through last week, giving some feedback. I read that line and as it, like, stopped in the tracks, like, you know, usually don't take offense to this, but usually when you guys send this out, it's on a Wednesday, and Wednesday is my busiest day. And so it's like, I'm going to read fast and skim and give the notes that I think are going to be helpful for you guys.
Yeah.
But usually it's like, okay, then I put it away. That one.
Yeah.
That one made me stop.
Yeah,
that one made me stop and kind of think and reflect before I kind of moved on to the next line, because it's just, oh man, it's so true. Like, discontentment can rob us of our joy.
Yeah,
and I don't want to ever get to a place to where I am sinful with discontentment because I'm refusing to experience the joy that's been given. So so loved that you found that line from Tim Keller. Tim Keller, thank you for,
good job, Tim,
getting at us. But that was,
thanks,
that was,
man.
If you're a listener out there,
yeah, please be sure to like and subscribe.
That was a big oof moment for me as well.
Yeah, that comes from the Songs of Jesus, his devotional through the whole book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
So part of a psalm every single day for 365 days. And it's just a phenomenal resource if you're looking to pick one up.
Yeah,
here we are, end of the year, so you can start a new year with a great resource, Songs of Jesus.
And the Proverbs one is, So I've done a lot of the songs of one's songs devotional, but to me the Proverbs one. Mm-hmm. So if it is a 10 out of 10,
yeah,
and I'd put the Psalms one at like a 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. So,
oh my goodness, that's such a terrible book then.
Yeah, don't read it. Don't read it. Yeah. Get the Proverbs one.
Hey, I love it. You know, joy is such an incredible thing. How blessed are we that God is blessing us with it. I think that a lot of people, even outside of the Christian world, understand that there is a difference between joy and happiness. But I think whenever you ask the question, hey, could you articulate what that difference is, people kind of have a little bit of trouble. And it's like, okay, let's offer some of that clarification and give some breakdown of each of those words. How is joy and happiness different from each other?
Well, kind of like I said earlier, you know, happiness is about circumstances a lot, and joy is deeper. Joy is transcendent over circumstances or feelings because of the truth. For me, as a Christian, it comes to the standing I have with God because of Jesus. That I am his child, I have salvation, and so that's eternal joy. So really, I mean, how would I answer that question if I'm not a Christian? I don't know I don't think it truly could be answered. I don't think that true and deep joy is really available to anyone except a Christian. There's probably some deeper feeling that's deeper than happiness, but I don't think it truly gets to joy unless it's Jesus. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, because I think what it would be, so for someone who's not a Christian, would be they're getting a glimpse or a whisper of what true joy is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to really know a joy that will sustain you, that is going to last through this life and into the next, you're right. It's got to come through our relationship with Christ, because, you know, like I loved your outline, Josh, super simple. You know, it's given, it's chosen, and it's shared, but you know, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a gift from God. And so that's why we are able to rejoice in all circumstances, because we know that, you know, no weapon formed against us will mm-hmm. prosper. You know, you've got all these things that you know that are just kind of out there. And so it's like, oh, wait a second. Okay. At the very least, at the end of the day, my eternity is secure.
Right.
My sins are forgiven. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore I can face whatever I'm going to face.
Yeah, I love that, because what you're getting at is back to the announcement from the angels to the shepherds, and it's that joy is directly related to the victory, mm-hmm. whereas happiness isn't necessarily. And so you've got that incredible thing. I always like to think about it in this way. You know that, you know, popular phrase that that money can't buy happiness. well, money can buy a jet ski.
Exactly.
I've never seen anybody sat on a jet ski.
Yeah. My wife was whenever I threw her off one once. But yeah.
Right. You know,
she wasn't like on it anymore.
I do think that money can buy you happiness, because happiness is just fleeting experiences,
right,
where you have mm-hmm. this moment of thrill, this moment of smiles and laughter and all that sort of stuff. And those aren't necessarily bad things. But what money can't buy you is joy. Joy is tied directly to the experience that you have of receiving the blessing of God, his victory through Christ Jesus. And so, yes, transcends circumstances. Joy is beyond the circumstance of what you are able to get, or what mm-hmm. you're able to achieve, or what you're able to experience. Now, joy is above and through all of that. And so it's huge, huge difference. And you're right. If it's tied to the victory that we can experience through Jesus Christ, then it's harder for people who are not Christians,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even impossible.
Yeah, and I love what Adam said too about it's a glimpse or a shadow. And I think there's all kinds of things in our world that it's like windows into the real world. So
yeah,
the love that we have between family members,
exactly,
it's like a glimpse of the love we have in God.
Yeah,
And you could go down the list and name all sorts of things, but
yeah, becoming a parent, whether you're a Christian or not, you know, is going to be a, something that's going to create and spark joy.
Yeah. It's a window into,
and it's a window that's a signpost, you know, kind of pointing off in the distance going, hey, there's something bigger out there. There's something, you know, there's someone out there who wants to have this kind of relationship with you.
I love it. Let me ask this question, and it might go back into what we talked about a little bit already, but let's see if we can get a little bit more. Let's talk about joy in the context of the Christmas story that was shared yesterday. So that might mean the announcement to the shepherds. That might mean the shepherd's response. That might mean kind of extracurricular Luke chapter 2 narrative. What strikes you in the Christmas story as particularly significant or interesting about this idea of joy?
Well, when I was looking at just parts of the Christmas story and where to go with joy, another character actually is Mary and her famous song that she sings, Magnificat, you know, it's often called, or the Song of Praise. And her opening line is just, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And then here's her next line. He took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, you know? And so it's like God initiated it. He took notice of me. And that's the same idea with the shepherds. Like God initiated that from the angels to the shepherds. It was not because they were good, not because they were deserving. It was really God's gift. And another little Bible nerd thing is that phrase, like with whom God is pleased or on whom his favor rests. That word there does not indicate that they are praiseworthy. It's like, it's God's choice, you know? And so, I don't know, swinging back to Mary, she really struck me too as someone who is joy-filled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, you go into the Christmas narrative, so you look at Simeon and Anna, you look at Zechariah, and you look at the shepherds.
Yeah.
I believe the Magi, I think. Every single time.
Yeah, the Magi, Matthew also says, they saw the star and it created joy, it stirred up joy in them.
Yeah.
You even go, John the Baptist in the womb.
Yeah.
Whenever he knows that Mary is pregnant with Jesus, he jumps. You know, that's crazy.
So, it's just a glorifying and praising joy. Those things all go together. And it's whenever you see Jesus, whenever you understand what God is doing or up to in this world through him, it causes joy, which it creates joy, which results in praise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
right. Because we have, again, the victory. It's for sure tied into that. Okay. So let's zoom out past the Christmas story then and kind of jump anywhere that you want to in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and talk about joy as you've seen it through scriptures. What other places of scripture does joy come up? What other stories come to mind, characters come to mind, teachings of Jesus or writings of Paul, Peter, Luke, all that sort of stuff? What strikes you as significant about joy in the rest of the scriptures?
So I brought these papers here I used kind of this week. It's a printout of every single time joy came up, at least in the ESV. And most of those are Greek related as well too, but English translated as joy. And that leaves out some of the things actually like rejoice. It was just the word joy.
Right.
Over 200 times, like lots and lots of places throughout the scriptures. About a fourth of those were just in the Psalms. So it was interesting to me that the songbook, the worship book of the Old Testament people of God was all about joy. David and others commanded it even. He said, come, let us praise the Lord with joy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was also interesting to hear the trees, the rivers, the meadows, the forests, they can clap their hands with joy even too. So it's all over the place. It also struck me that when the prophets talked about joy, it was always connected to God, but there was a shadow there they didn't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing that struck me again was, man, how cool is it that we know a joy that Moses didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
We know a joy Elijah didn't know. Or like Isaiah, the scripture that was quoted, he says, the meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord. So Isaiah writes that, but then like, he doesn't know Jesus in the sense that we know Jesus. So it's really, really neat to me that we know joy more than the Old Testament prophets did, you know? And then you get to the New Testament and you hear all the time, the fruit of the Spirit is joy.
Yeah.
So it's connected to life in the Spirit. So.
Yeah, I love that.
I got nothing to add, man. I mean, that's just, it's just, you know, if you, the more time you spend in the Psalms and you read through some of those things, it's just like, it's just all over the place. It's not a, it's not an elective.
No.
It's just a, I don't know if requirement's the right word. It's just a, an expected response.
It's a fruit.
It's a fruit.
It's a fruit
that comes from your connection to Jesus, which is.
Is that in the Bible?
Yeah. That's, no, I was, John chapter 15, verse 11. Is kind of what I've been reflecting on. That's what I've, what the teenagers have been going through with me on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. In John 15, verse 11, Jesus says, I tell you all of these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy will be complete, completely full. And so the things that he says, like if, you know, whenever there's a therefore or whenever there's a, I tell you these things, you should probably read the verses before. The verses before are all about the metaphor Jesus gives of the vine and the branches. So it's the I am statement. I am the vine. You are the branches. And if you stay connected to the vine, you will produce fruit. And when you produce much fruit, you will show to be my true disciple. And so the connection that Jesus makes here is, if you want my joy to be in you and your joy to be complete, then two things. You're going to stay connected to me. And from the result of that, you're going to produce fruit, right? And so it, it's all about the, that fruit. And so what are the fruits we're talking about? Well, it's going to be, it's going to be that joy.
Yeah.
I think one of the other things that strikes me just about joy, again, talking youth ministry for a second, I feel like one single verse that I've used in youth ministry more than any other verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Especially in kind of the junior and senior high school world, people are wrestling with, you know, what's God's will for my life? What's God's plan for me? Am I supposed to go to this college? Am I supposed to not go to college? Am I supposed to go into ministry? Am I supposed to go be a teacher? Or all that sort of stuff. Those are conversations that happen on a regular basis. And over and over and over again, my first, like the first thing that I tell a student is go read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, which says rejoice always, which there, there's your joy. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so even then, like you say, Adam, it's not necessarily a requirement, but it's not an elective. But it, understanding that whenever you are in alignment with God's will, you are going to be someone who is full of joy, able to rejoice all of the time. And man, I think sometimes we just overcomplicate God's will for our lives, and we don't have to. It's just be joyful, be grateful, and be prayerful. That's it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is a fruit. And then I think too, Josh, you know, I love your point that, you know, joy is something that we choose. It's not circumstantial. It is something in a lot of ways to where it's like, despite my circumstances, I choose joy. I choose to look and see these things through lenses of, you know, God's still doing something. God's got something going on. You know, even if it's a, you feel like you're under spiritual attack, it's a, well, you know, you guys, you've always heard that, you know, Satan won't attack a sleeping dog or something like that. You know, it's like, well, that must be because, so you can always find reasons to choose joy. It's not circumstantial.
James 1:5.
Yeah.
Right. Is it 1:2 or 1:5? 1:2 is popular and 1:5 is popular. One of them's like, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask for it. And then the other one is, the other one is consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. I think it's 2. Yeah, it's 2. Confirmed.
Confirmed. BibleGateway.com confirmed.
1:5 is if any of you lacks wisdom, ask for wisdom, which is a great verse, but it's not what we're talking about today. So consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of any kinds. Let's try to get really practical here. So we can talk about just the Bible nerd stuff. We can talk about how joy is beyond our circumstances, related to the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. But it's a lot harder to kind of figure out just how this looks like what this looks like on a daily basis. And so I want to run through your outline, Josh. You said joy is given, joy is chosen, joy is shared, and then just ask the questions about it. How, if joy is given, then how can we receive it practically? Maybe in general, maybe each and every morning as we wake up, how can we receive the joy that is given from the Lord?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the receiving of that and choosing of that are kind of two sides of the same coin, maybe, for a Christian who already has received Jesus. If you're not a Christian, mm-hmm. how you receive joy is you receive Jesus. Yeah. You mm-hmm.
Because joy submit, is Jesus. Jesus.
Joy is Jesus. It's salvation through Jesus, that no matter what you've done, there is hope and there is mm-hmm. peace through him. And that's joy. So if you're not a Christian, you receive Jesus, and that's the open door. But as a Christian, how do you continue to receive it, and how do you choose it, really are kind of, like I said, two sides of the same coin. And so if you're a Christian and you've forgotten your joy, maybe a simple thing would just be to just look up the word joy in the Bible, or do a search and go read all of the things God has already said about the joy you can experience and should experience, and what he's mm-hmm. done for you. And beyond just reading scripture, like, reflect on your life. You know, I go back to that Keller quote mm-hmm. about it's a sin not to be joyful. And what's the other part of that quote? He says, he commands joy, to rejoice in the Lord. It's not simply to have an emotion, but to remind ourselves mm-hmm. in a disciplined way about all we have in Christ. And here it is, that the greatness of it breaks into our heart. Mm-hmm. So kind of sit there with it long enough to where the joy of what we have in Christ breaks through the ingratitude or depression or frustration, whatever other emotion we're feeling, the joy of Christ can break through that. It's partly what I think of here first as you ask that question. So
yeah. Yeah, and I think for somebody who has, you know, they feel like they've lost their joy, I think that a really practical step that they could do would be to just go to Psalm 51
and pray that prayer.
And pray that prayer. Restore mm-hmm. unto me the joy of, you know, my salvation.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a good prayer.
Yeah.
And just, that's your prayer. And it's just like, God, remind me of this, remind me of this, remind me of this. And let that be the source of your joy.
Yeah, because the context of that psalm is, it's
pretty heavy.
Pretty heavy. Because, you know, it's a guy, David, who has committed adultery and murder.
Yeah.
And so talk about a guy who
needs...
Those
are both against the Ten Commandments. Just for anybody who needs...
Talk about a guy who needs restoration, not just because of circumstances done to him, but failures that he's just, mm-hmm. I mean, in tears over.
Yeah.
That's an incredible example of, I mean, what's he called? The man after God's own heart, too. Yeah. So really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's huge. I love that. Love that prayer. Restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Well, and even if you're not somebody who's lost your joy, it's just like,
it's a great prayer.
It's still a great prayer. Yeah. Even if it's just remind me uh-huh. or thank you or whatever it is. It's just like, wherever you find yourself, you can pray that prayer.
I think on the podcast before, I've talked about just the idea of practicing breath prayers. Mm-hmm. There's one for you right there that you can say under your breath throughout the day, mm-hmm. restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to mm-hmm. me the joy of my salvation. God, you are so good. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. So there's something really practical that you can do every single minute.
And is not day. And is not dependent on your circumstances.
Correct. Yeah.
And if you want an old Keith Green song, you can go to Creating Me a Clean Heart. Actually, that's a song we sing sometimes before our kids before going to bed. And it's a good reminder as we sing it.
How does the song go?
Oh my gosh, how old are you?
Keith Green, dude, you got to look it up.
Oh my gosh.
He just sings the song. Yeah. So, Creating Me a Clean Heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me.
Okay.
And it just sings the rest of the verses.
It's fantastic.
Cool. It really is. It,
do you know who Keith Green is?
I don't.
You know who Rich Mullins is?
I know who Rich Mullins is.
So, Keith Green was Rich Mullins before Rich Mullins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and Keith Green, I think he died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then Rich died in a car crash.
Yeah. Man.
There you go.
There you go. Keith Green.
CCM. Keith Green.
Psalm 51. Okay, yeah. I'll look it up whenever we stop. Cool. So that's how joy can be received or really chosen. Any thoughts about how we could choose joy? So we kind of talked a little bit about that already. Any more thoughts about how we can just every single day, practically speaking, just kind of wake up and throughout the day choose joy.
I'll just get personal. This past week, one of the days, the mornings was just, it was frustrating. You know, there was some stuff made it really hard. I told the story in the sermon, just getting out the door was difficult. And I think sometimes as human beings, we let ourselves get stuck because a situation is frustrating and we just want to feel the frustration. We think it's going to make us feel better. And so I think a practical step would just be to kind of take a pause, take a step back and say, do I need to feel the frustration right now? Or can I just get over it?
Right.
You know, Adam, you've talked before about husbands getting out of their funk,
yep.
You know, for their wife to make her feel, you know, in love or feel connected and feel safe. Loved and safe and all that stuff. So I think it's the same for our kids too. Just get out of the funk. I mean, feel your feelings, but realize sometimes we can speak to our feelings. Yeah. We can speak to those situations and choose not to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember one time, I don't know what happened. Maybe I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I was grumpy. Like I was having a day where I was just grumpy and was choosing to be grumpy. And I wanted to stay that way. Like you were kind of mm-hmm. talking about.
Yeah.
And Tristan kind of called me out on it because she's amazing. And, she's like, Luke, just stop being grumpy. You know, like I tell her all the time, like stop worrying, you know, and that's not like the best thing to
say.
That's
probably not the most helpful.
So it's on the other side. She's like, stop being grumpy. I'm like,
That doesn't help,
you know, but it was like my immediate response was, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, stop being grumpy. I don't want to.
Yeah. Let me wallow
today,
in this
I want
for a little
to be
bit.
Grumpy. Like today, yeah. I want to be grumpy.
Uh-huh.
Today, I want to be grumpy. And that's like, that is a moment in which that prayer, restore to me the joy of my salvation, that needs to come in because mm-hmm. God has been so good to me. I don't have to stay grumpy because mm-hmm. something didn't go my way on a specific day. Big deal.
Right.
Like, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard it said, and I don't know who said it first, but, you know, you can't choose your circumstances. You can't control your circumstances. The only thing you can control is your response to them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's just part of it. It's a mindset. And it's a mindset that comes from having a heart that is in connection, in rhythm with God and what he's doing in our lives. Going back to John 15, one that is connected to the vine.
Yeah, I think you're talking about proactivity.
Yeah.
Like you, in order to experience joy when the circumstances don't turn out the way that you'd like them to, there's something to being proactive about your rhythms.
Yeah.
To stay connected to Jesus so that when circumstances, because they will not always look the way that you want them to, whenever they start to look that way.
Yeah, and this isn't saying, too, that you'll never be in a funk or you're
for sure.
You're always just going to be like some sappy Christian walking around,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like pretending like bad things aren't happening. It's just like, it is just the intentionality of just looking through it and not staying in that funk.
Right.
And I think that's the key. It's like you will go through dark times. You
right.
will
yep.
go through depressing
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
And it's like, how long are you going to
stay there?
I think so.
I think you're talking about that. And I think about just Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? Like there are words in the Bible that describe the emotions that Jesus felt
yeah.
sometimes. And it was a word in, you know, Mark chapter 14, Garden of Gethsemane, despair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't choose to stay there, though.
Yeah.
He submitted.
Yeah.
And was okay.
Yeah.
Adam, you've said before that sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our own words.
Mm-hmm.
And so really that's what hit me the other day was because I have tried to be the dad who says to my kids, like, you don't have to be mad right now. You know that you don't have to be, you don't have to stay mad because as a parent, I'm looking at a child and saying, you might be overreacting to this situation. So let's mm-hmm. think about this. Let's calm our words. Like let's calm ourselves down, take a big deep breath. And then as I'm saying that,
yeah.
I was just convicted going, hey, all right, God, thanks for talking to me through myself. Like yeah, maybe yeah. I need to calm down. So
yeah, that's good. Cool. Okay. Let's move on to the kind of that last point. Joy is shared. So practically, what can we do today, tomorrow, the next day, in order to share the joy as you see in the narrative of Luke chapter 2, the shepherds doing?
I got an idea.
There you go.
Yeah. Christmas Eve services are coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
Here's a chance to invite somebody to experience a little bit of joy.
Yeah.
And especially if it's your one and you know that they've never received joy through salvation, those things, man alive, what a great way.
And that was the challenge. I mean, that was part of the challenge in the sermon as well. It's just let's get all these invite cards out of here. We have them all scattered out and a lot of them have been taken, but there's still a few around. And so let's get all of them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday after Sunday, you're like, hey, maybe I should just swing by the church and see if they have any more. Because that can be huge to stick on a plate of cookies or anything like that. So invite there. I think sharing it is beyond the invitation to the event of Christmas Eve, just a new year's coming. And there's other opportunities to invite your one or your people. And then there's opportunities. I think if we look for them, they are there, you know, where we can respond to a certain situation a certain way because we're a Christian and we have joy. That opens up a door for someone to say, why in the world did you do that? Oh, let me tell you, because I have the joy of Christ. Like, I have that. And so look for those opportunities as well.
Yeah. Adam, what do you think? Anything else?
Nope, I agree. How's that? I concur.
Ooh, amen.
Amen.
Truly, truly.
Preach it, Josh.
Verified.
Yeah. Verified.
100%.
Yeah. I'll tack on one more thing. Obviously, we want to spread joy to those around us. But I think as we think through leadership and fathers and things like that, just as we've said the past several weeks, just it's our responsibility as leaders in the home and mothers to just be a thermostat more than a thermometer. And so let's spark that joy there as well and ask our kids and those in our family, what makes you joyful, and kind of lead the way there.
Yeah.
So.
I love that. Let me read the bottom line. I thought this was a great bottom line. Josh, you shared at the end that Christmas without Christ is Christmas without joy.
Yeah,
and that's
not a Christmas worth having.
Right. Yeah. And that's why. Like I made the joke before we recorded, but like as I'm reading the line again and thinking through it, like no, it's a real thing. That's why you don't want to take the Christ out of Christmas, right? Like. Because if you take that out of the Christmas, then you take the joy out. And honestly, like you guys can see that, right? Like you take Christ out of Christmas and what does Christmas become?
Debt.
It becomes debt.
Yep.
It becomes a family drama.
Yep.
It becomes a never ending schedule of having to dress up my preschooler for Holly Day and Grinch Day and Jingle Bell Day and, you know, whatever all of the holidays are. And man, it can become so overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
It just doesn't have to be that way. You can choose instead to have joy and to keep Christ as not only the central part of Christmas, but the only part of Christmas. Christmas without Christ is Christmas without joy. Love that bottom line. Do you guys have any thoughts about it as well? Or am I just kind of getting on a little tangent of at the moment?
No, that's good. Yeah,
it's good.
That's it.
Okay, so then the challenge, spark joy. We talked a little bit about that already. But man, do what you can to spark joy. Share the joy. You have been given an incredible, incredible gift. Go and share that with people. Josh, I see you nodding your head. Talk to us a little bit about it.
Oh, yes, obviously share it, spark it in other people's lives. And sometimes that means you've got to spark it in your own life first. And so read all those joy passages, remind yourself of the goodness of God, of your salvation through Christ, and then it'll be a little more natural, right? Share what you have. So
I love it. Cool. Well, let's put a pin in that. We are done with joy.
Good. No more joy.
No more. No, just kidding.
Ah, humbug.
We've got the joy down in our heart.
Down in our heart to stay, man.
Where? It's down in our heart.
Just and I'm so happy.
Yeah. And I'm so
happy. Maybe the song was wrong.
And I'm so joyful.
No, we can be happy because of joy. Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're kissing. What did you say? Kissing cousins?
Kissing cousins.
Kissing cousins.
From Alabama. Like,
let's have some fun to wrap up today. I need you guys, if you have them with you, I need you to pull up your iPhones. Pull out your iPhones. And of course, we have iPhones in this room because we're Christians. And we don't like the green text messages. We like the blue text messages. We're going to play a game called Predictive Text Christmas Edition.
Oh, wow.
And see what comes up.
Just need to open a note.
Open a note or a text message to yourself or to your wife if you want to just send her some really weird text messages.
I'll do a note.
I'm gonna do the same thing. So pull it up.
Okay.
And I'm gonna give you guys some prompts and then tell you where to start putting predictive text in.
Okay.
Okay. So it's all gonna be Christmas.
I don't think I have predictive enabled. How do I
you
enable?
Don't have predictive do, enabled?
No, because oh I like it. How do I re-enable that real quick?
Oh man, I don't know. Go to settings.
Yeah, settings. It's gonna be.
Hold on. Keep explaining it. I'll figure it out.
Okay, so keep explaining the game.
Yeah.
And Josh will figure it out. Okay, so I'm going to give you a prompt and then tell you where the predictive text is going to go. And then once the predictive text comes up, you're going to hit the first one for sure. And if you need to hit the like second or third one to actually get it to make sense, that's fine. But we're just going to kind of do that.
So I don't have to pick the center one.
Here we go. I got it.
No, I would say this. You can pick the one on the left, center, or right.
Okay.
And you can do the first one, and if it doesn't make sense, you can go again until it, like you actually have a sentence that makes sense. But we're just trying to.
No, I think you just got to go with the.
Just the first one?
Yeah, you've got your three choices. Pick one of the three.
Uh-huh.
And then we go until we get a complete sentence.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, so you go until you get the kind of the thought to where it makes sense.
All right.
Well, it might not make sense in the long run, but until the sentence or the thought is done. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Ready?
I'm ready. I got the setting enabled.
That was fast. Well done. Okay. Once again, iPhone, user friendly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, if you had an Android, you'd still be working on this.
And
right?
It comes up. Yeah.
All right. So, first one, really simple. All I want for Christmas, predictive text. All I want for Christmas, predictive text. Okay. You guys got it?
Yes.
Okay, Josh, share with us.
All I want for Christmas is for you guys to come over.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
All I want for Christmas is to have a good day at school, but I'm scared to be in the middle.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I got all I want for Christmas this week, and I'm so happy. I like it. Okay, let's go to another one. I went shopping on Black Friday and bought a predictive text. How you'll have to excuse the awkward silence as we all frantically text as fast as we can into our phones. Bought a. All right.
I went shopping on Black Friday and bought a bunch more things for the holidays, so I'm going to have a lot more time on the weekend. That's a pretty good sentence.
That's pretty good. Like, you get it all done on Black Friday?
Yeah.
Weekends leading up to Christmas.
Exactly.
You just have all of the time in the world. I went shopping on Black Friday and bought a new one for the house. I don't know. I don't know what the one is.
Yeah.
I don't know, but apparently I got it.
Probably a vacuum.
I went shopping on Black Friday and bought a bunch of stuff for the kids, and I was wondering if there was anything that they needed from Walmart or something.
How often do you text Sasha, do you need anything from Walmart? Because there's the predictive text coming in. All right, next one. The best time to put up Christmas decorations is predictive text. Best time to put up Christmas decorations.
Can people at home, they should play along too. And
sure. Play along and then share with us what you get on some of these.
So apparently the best time to put up Christmas decorations is on Sunday.
On Sunday. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got something that I don't agree with. The best time to put up Christmas decorations is in October.
Well, the best time to put up Christmas decorations for your children was this weekend, so you missed it.
Okay, but just for your children.
Just for the children.
So if you and Sasha have Christmas decorations that are specific to your likes, then those were fine to go up.
Those are fine to go up anytime, I guess,
But the children.
Yeah.
But the children had to be that.
Just got to think of the kids, man.
Okay. All right. The first thing my family does on Christmas morning is predictive text. We'll see. What we get here? I'm a slow texter.
The first thing my family does on Christmas morning is watch my dog eat.
Mm. Is that accurate?
No.
No? Okay.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know.
The first thing my family does on Christmas morning is put a sign in front of the house on Christmas morning to remind everyone to put the signs up.
Yes.
There you go. Drive by Adam's house and you'll see a sign in the front yard.
Don't forget to put your sign up.
Don't forget to put your sign up.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. All right. If you're looking for a sign, there it is. The first thing my family does on Christmas morning is the day after my first birthday.
That's good.
don't understand that one. Okay, let's just do a couple of more. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. Predictive text. Got a... What story is that? That's Dickens, right? Charles Dickens?
I don't know. No. Charles Dickens is A Christmas Carol.
Is A Christmas Carol. Is that not the
same? 'Twas the Night Before Christmas is the name of the story.
Oh.
And it's by Clement C. Moore.
Clement C. Moore.
Not related.
Not related.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house was in a box with the door closed to allow for the door opener and a few extra buttons.
Where do they get buttons?
I don't know. But you need buttons, man.
Gotta have buttons.
Gotta have buttons for Christmas.
Okay. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house and garden, we were going through a very rough patch.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house, he had a big heart in the heart and a lot more to do than he did at home in his own house. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Okay, last one. This one might give us some good ones. My elf name is capital B, then predictive text. So you just type the capital B. Okay.
So there's going to be just one word.
Here. No. My elf name is capital B, then predictive text. Then you type the elf, and I am head of predictive text in Santa's workshop. I can walk you through that as we go.
So your name is slow
capital
down.
B. My elf name is capital B, predictive text.
And then the word elf.
The elf, yes.
Oh, I see.
So like the Buddy elf. The elf.
Sure. And then comma,
and I am head of predictive text in Santa's workshop. Oh, no. This is not good.
This is a complicated one.
Yes, it is.
All right. I think I got it, though.
Okay. Tell us what you got.
All right. My name is Baby the Elf, and I am head of the Elf Gang and my sister in Santa's workshop.
Okay, there you go. Baby Elf.
Yeah. My elf name is Bean the Elf.
Bean? Like
Being.
Being?
Okay.
Yeah, B-E-I-N-G, the Elf. And I am head of the club in Santa's workshop.
Okay. Wow, I got the gang, you got the club.
My elf name is Baby Daddy the Elf.
Don't know that I've ever typed that into my phone.
I don't know that I have either.
Sure.
And I am head of a group called Baby Girl Daddy in Santa's workshop.
Wow.
So there we go.
I'll say it backwards. Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, there you go.
Wow.
Wow.
Owen Wilson, wow. There you go. That was a little bit of fun. Hopefully you played along with us. If you did not, rewind.
Play along, unless
minutes,
you're driving.
Then play along.
unless you're driving.
This is Corinth in your car and you're actually driving, then use Siri. We're good there. That was fun. Christmas predictive text.
There you go.
Yeah.
Baby daddy. All that
baby
sort
daddy,
of stuff.
Baby girl daddy.
Baby girl daddy. All right.
That was my nickname in high school. Not really. Yeah.
No. No, it was not. Hey, we're looking forward to what's coming up. Christmas Eve services. You're never going to believe it. It's on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
December 24th.
Cutting edge, man.
What is it? Well, hold on. Get the times right. It's
2:34, 5:30 in the auditorium, and then 3:30 in the sanctuary.
There you go. And then Christmas Day, 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
We'd love to have you join us if you're able to join us. And then New Year's is coming around the corner. We're excited.
Yeah.
Hey, we are. I think we're going to take a break next Monday.
Yeah.
We're not going to record a podcast on Christmas Day.
No.
For you to listen to the Monday after. And you're not going to probably be in your car commuting to work.
No.
Anyways. So, but we'll be back soon with a lot of good stuff coming up for you guys.
Yep.
So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We hope that you will experience the joy of your salvation this Christmas. And
we'll see you next year.
Ooh.
There we go.
All right. Peace and grace.